Have you ever been to a human library? Yep, you heard it right. A human library. Well, they're coming to Howard County.
So at a human library, you come in and you can check out a person who's had a different life experience than you, whether they're a different religion, different culture, immigrant, community, life experiences.
A fun event is coming to Owen Brown, right on time to celebrate the arrival of spring.
The idea of it is for people to actually come to the event and sit down at the event and make a craft, or sit down and listen to one of our tech talks, or go outside and meet with the golf pro and learn how to perfect your swing. So the idea is to get people involved at the event.
Looking for ways to spice things up in your community? How about a little salt?
We call it salt of the earth because we feel like we are the salt of the earth. And if you think about salt, salt is very useful. It can add a lot of flavor to things. It's very valuable. But salt, if it's left alone, if it's left on the shelf, does absolutely no good to anyone.
These stories coming up in March's episode of HOKA Journal, starting right now. And welcome to HOKA Journal, the show where we highlight the unique and interesting people, businesses, nonprofit organizations, and events happening right here in Howard County. I am your host, Cris Oviedo. I want to tell you a little something about myself. So this past fall, I watched a video on Facebook of a teenager that was helping an older homeless man put on a donated pair of shoes. And I have to say, it really, really touched my heart. So when I found out that this was actually happening right here in downtown Baltimore every weekend, I instantly knew that I wanted to be part of it and that I wanted to invite everyone who's listening to join a little movement called Salt of the Earth. And Steve Sarnecki is here in studio with me. So why don't we start, Steve, by telling everyone what salt is?
We call it salt of the earth because we feel like we are the salt of the earth. And if you think about salt, salt is very useful. It can add a lot of flavor to things. It's very valuable. But salt, if it's left alone, if it's left on the shelf, does absolutely no good to anyone. It cakes up. It spoils, it goes stale, and all you can really do is throw it out. So we call this salt of the earth because we feel like we are called to do something, to fix some of the problems, to help some of the people. And we do the salt of the earth kind of, I call it like, it's almost like guerrilla service, because it's really meant to be eye to eye, hand in hand, and heart to heart. There's a lot of things we can do. But when you do it personally with and for somebody else, it means a little more.
The specific project that I am actually involved with as a volunteer happens every Saturday and Sunday at Baltimore. Why don't you give us a little more about that?
Every Saturday and Sunday morning, we make and serve a full breakfast, a hot breakfast, and we serve it on the streets. So we make fresh biscuits, egg casseroles, sausage or ham, about 20 or 30 gallons of hot coffee, hot cocoa. We've had people recently making things as exotic as French toast sticks and pancakes, really the kind of things that you would want to eat for breakfast.
Right.
And then we set up in two locations in downtown Baltimore, actually on the street, set up tables on Fallsway and then on Broadway. And the folks who are homeless and hungry queue up and we serve them. And I would say we feed them, but more than feed them, we visit with them. They're friends. They're people that over the past 2 years we've gotten to know and look forward to catching up on. And it's as much about talking with them and just treating them as real live human beings, which they are, rather than just, you know, throwing food at them.
Absolutely.
And walking away.
Absolutely. And I know on Sundays, at least when one of the volunteers' name is Maria, she brings speakers, she brings music and just plays the music.
Yeah. It's a complete party. And it's really cool is that the guests like one location over the other. So they're not too far apart downtown, but they each have their own kind of different vibe. And I wouldn't call them quite a street party.
Right.
But they're close. And, you know, like street parties, we've had other people join in. And, you know, we've had people come that were going to a metalhead concert downtown, and they came and had a cup of coffee and grabbed a biscuit, no big deal. We've had a lot of police officers come by. The best story I'll say is at Broadway, we had a guy come by as we were cleaning up, and we said, hey, do you want a cup of coffee? No, I ain't homeless. And I said, I didn't ask if you're homeless. I said, do you want a cup of coffee? And he consented and had a cup, and we talked. Long story short, it turns out he works for a bakery company, and every week he takes bread back that they basically destroyed in the warehouse because they couldn't sell it anymore. It was out of date, but it was still good bread. So we got his name and his number, and for that cup of coffee now, about every other week we get about a dozen loaves of bread donated from him. The same thing happened with, you know, when we started doing salt, it's kind of funny. It started really because of one guy, and it wasn't me. It was a guy, Joseph. I got to know Joseph from Friday night. They serve meals at St. Vincent's Church, and they've been doing it for like 25 years. And Joseph lived in a tent right at the base of the Jones Falls Expressway downtown. You get to know the guests after a while, and Joseph had a really kind of sharp wit. And he was a little bit of a smart aleck. And he said, hey, you need to come by and see my new house. And I was like, oh, you got a house? He said, yeah, brand new. I thought, that's exciting. And I thought, you know, he was just yanking my chain.
Right.
The next week I pulled up and Joseph was waiting in the parking lot, called me over. And we walked to his tent. And he invited me inside. And I don't know if your listeners will realize, but like anytime you invite someone into your house, it's a pretty big deal.
Absolutely.
So just from the outside that, you know, his house, in air quotes, was a tarp and a lean-on and a cardboard box section, it was still his home.
Right.
And he invited me in, insisted that I come in through the front door, and it was massive. I mean, it was easily as big as your studio, if not twice as big. And I said, Joseph, this, it's huge. It's wonderful. Why? And he said something that was probably the one time he wasn't a real smart aleck. He said, because sometimes there's people down here, man, they need help and they need a place to stay. So I made it big enough for them. And he proceeded to proudly show me the guest bed, which was two bread crates turned upside down with a piece of cardboard on them. But he had enough room that he had provisioned for other people. So at that point, I mean, I'd known Joseph about a year and I'd call him a friend. I mean, I saw him every Friday night, you know, and visited with him. And really liked his sharp wit. So it kind of hit me. What would you do for a friend if they had a new house? You'd have a housewarming party. So we got some folks together over in Ilchester, and we made coffee. We made, I think, pork barbecue and coleslaw and chips. And we had Joseph invite like 15 or 20 of his friends. And we set up a table and had a party right at the bottom of the JFX. And that was kind of when we got the idea of, it's not as scary as it sounds. You can actually do this, right? And you're on the street, it's open, and it just felt very comfortable. And as we got to know more, we learned that there's lots of services during the week, but very few services on weekends. So a lot of the folks weren't getting breakfast on Saturday and Sunday. And I guess with that little bit of confidence from Joseph, we decided, hey, we actually could just serve breakfast. We don't need to be inside, because they're not inside. And that's kind of where it started. It was very simple at first.
And, you know, it's still simple, but it's very, I have to say, very well organized. And early in the morning, Saturdays, I know there's a couple people who go here to Our Lady of Perpetual Help right here in Ellicott City, and they prepare coffee, and there's people who prepare oatmeal Saturday night, and they bring it warm for Sunday morning. And I have to say, it's gotten a reputation of the best oatmeal in Baltimore.
Maria paid you for that plug, didn't she?
No, it's a true statement that comes from those, you know, friends who come and visit us
on
Sundays.
Well, I won't say who, but one person asked me, they said, I'd like to make oatmeal, but like, do you have a recipe? How should I make it? And I said to them, it's very simple. Whatever you would serve your kids, make it the same way, right? I mean, there's a recipe, right? It's something you enjoy making and sharing. And that's kind of where it's all taken. It's the cool thing is people like you and Maria love to go downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a great time interacting, and that's wonderful. There are another group of people that are afraid.
Absolutely.
Or don't want to or don't have time to go downtown.
Absolutely.
So they wake up and get into the kitchen at 6 a.m. to make coffee and biscuits. And then there's other people who are physically unable to do anything, But they donate the creamer and the sugar and all the supplies. And you kind of knit all these people together with their little dysfunctions and hangups. And all of a sudden you have a whole big team of people that are getting some pretty amazing things done.
I have to admit, when I first asked Maria what this was all about, and she said, oh, we just go over to Broadway, and it's really right there on Broadway Street. And I have to say, I mean, when you first go there, when you think of Broadway Street, you don't, you, not necessarily happy thoughts come to mind.
Were you afraid the first time?
I was intimidated. Yeah. Absolutely. I was intimidated. But this was something that I felt in my heart that I wanted to do.
Sure.
And that overtook my fear. But what could we tell listeners who maybe are interested in helping out, not necessarily still considering going there? I mean,
about this effort and about anything, two words, kind of simple, do something. Do something. If you see something, and we're apt to complain about a lot of things, right? We live close enough to DC. We can see a lot of things wrong, and it's very easy to complain, but do something, right? So if the something you can do is go downtown and serve, go serve. If you can't serve, but you got a really killer recipe, come bake or donate. If you just want to donate and buy the material, do that because it all works. I mean, we've got a guy that you might know named Jeremy.
Yes.
And he'll probably hear this and I'll get in trouble, but Jeremy will go anywhere in the city where he sees somebody in need. And he will go places that other people wouldn't go and maybe he shouldn't go. But Jeremy couldn't save himself if he were in a kitchen, right? And then it's beautiful because while he's willing to go out and do that, he totally relies on people who are willing to make, bake, and donate things.
Right.
So it works.
Right. Jeremy and Maria are the two people that everybody looks for on Sundays.
Yeah.
If they're not there, they're asking if they're okay. It becomes almost like a community, you know?
Yeah.
And these people get to know you, and they know, and you get to know them as well. And you start, like you were saying, developing a little bit of a friendship.
It's family.
It's not
exactly. Yeah,
you're not going and just serving food. You're actually going and getting to meet these wonderful people who are just, you know, down in life for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But you can see sometimes the hope in their eyes, and it's so wonderful. You hear so many thank yous and so many blessings, you know, coming your way. But the true blessing to me is the fact that they are there accepting what you're doing for them. That,
right,
to me is, it's just the biggest.
It's a two-way street. And so the other part of do something besides this effort is even locally. Do something in the sense of, you know, we all have map pockets in cars. I'm not sure why they have map pockets anymore with smartphones.
Right.
Because we don't use them.
Right.
They're junk and Kleenex.
Right.
So I've cleaned out the map pockets in a couple of cars and just stocked them with chips and crackers and cookies. I mean, even in Howard County, you're driving around. You see people. And there's nothing like just looking them in the eye and asking them if they're hungry. I generally don't give money, actually. But the one thing I will give them besides food is just eye contact and try to get to know their name. Because it's kind of struck me, and this happens a lot with guys in the city, as well as guys I see down on Route 1. How much would it stink to live your whole life where you're holding a sign, you're in this lousy weather, and at least half, if not 90% of the people you see do their best not to see you. They look away. They fiddle with the radio. They pretend to look for something in the seat. They avert their eyes. And it's just that part, to me, is the saddest part. Because they're human beings. Something's wrong. Maybe it was their fault. Maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it's not mine to worry about. But they have a need. And sure, I might not give them $20. They might not want the crackers or the drink. But just the eye contact and the recognition.
And maybe smile.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It doesn't take much.
Right.
So the do something doesn't have to be massive. It can be pretty simple and grow. And if you get enough people doing simple things together, it's amazing. I mean, we added it up that for the past 2 years, we fed about 750 people every weekend. It's not like we ever planned and set up this great plan to do that. And now we're looking at Howard County. We're looking for little enclaves where, you know, there's someone Route 1. There's other missions that do great stuff for getting people inside. But there are still places locally where people have needs.
Going back to Jeremy, I saw on Facebook that he started looking for dolls. Do you know more about what that is all about?
Yeah, so one of the things, we definitely didn't plan 750 people. We definitely did not plan to be offering a full menu of hot cocoa, hot tea, hot coffee, oatmeal as you like it. I mean, we got more choices than like Burger King in its day. But it's actually spun off. There's a woman who started doing clothing. There's a couple people who started putting together toiletry kits. And Jeremy has gotten into dolls to basically help some of the kids. We find a lot of homeless and underprivileged kids that come there and are enjoying a cup of coffee or something to eat. And they're still kids.
Right.
I mean, they want to be kids. So.
And when you think about it, you don't think that there can be homeless kids, but there are. There are people.
You know, there's actually, I don't recall the name of it offhand. There's a homeless pre-K in Baltimore City, in West Baltimore, that was set up to basically provide a pre-K for kids whose parents were homeless because they're kind of doubly at risk, right? Mm-hmm. So they need pre-K, but because they're not living anywhere, they don't fit into the school system. So how cool is that? It's just, you know, they literally take people who don't have an address and a mailing address or using a shelter or have some kind of transient problem and are dealing with the kids because you're right. They're still whole families. I mean, we know one family, Alana and Thomas is their name. They're a married couple. They live in an alleyway behind Mercy Hospital. So if you think your marriage is tough,
right.
go try
right.
to live
Imagine.
On the street.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And they're trying to get into other housing, but they don't have it right now because they've decided they don't want to split. They don't want to go into a men's shelter and a woman's shelter. They want to preserve their marriage.
It's easy to judge homelessness when you're sitting inside your car and you don't know all of the factors why that person is standing today on that street. So I personally would like to invite our listeners, when you hear things like what you just said, Steve, it's whole families and the reasons why they're not going into a shelter might be because they want to preserve that family.
Yep.
Who are we to then tell them that they're wrong? Who are we to judge that situation? I mean, so when you see a homeless person, just like you were saying earlier, just make that eye contact, just think of them as human beings and try not to think, because I think that that's the first thing that we do is judge and say, well, there's a lot of jobs out there. Why are you not getting a job? I think that the issue at hand is a lot bigger than what we make it out to be. And
everybody we meet has a life that's way more complicated than we see on the surface. I mean, even in Howard County, right?
Absolutely.
There's things going on. We had one woman who we started to make sandwiches. We call them drive-bys. I know, like, doing drive-bys in Baltimore may be something totally different, but we look for people that are alone by themselves and might be hungry, and we give them a bag lunch or something to drink. So as we're doing these drive-bys, I had one woman who said she didn't feel comfortable making the food because we were giving the food to addicts. And I thought it was interesting, and I stopped and I kind of asked her, I said, so you don't like the fact that we're helping addicts? And she said, no. I said, well, that's interesting. I said, because think of all the people that you know that live up and down your street that are addicted to caffeine, addicted to coffee, addicted to their smartphones, mm-hmm. addicted to pornography, addicted to just about anything. But because those addictions aren't evident, you don't judge them. But if someone comes with an obvious addiction, somehow they're put in a different
category,
kind of judgment category. And it's harsh, and I'm not trying to sound unkind, but look, we all have addictions and we all have things that we're not proud of.
Right.
And, you know, the best thing is when someone's willing to just say, hey, look, I know you're not perfect, but I'm still willing to help you out. And whether that's, you know, a hug or a sandwich or a cup of coffee or a conversation or the best oatmeal in Baltimore.
Yes.
It's still good.
Yes. Right? Just taking those labels away when we look at each other and just trying to extend that helping hand, you know, instead of judging you. I think that that right there is doing something already, as
Absolutely.
You were saying. Are there opportunities for children to get involved? And I know that it's not like the opportunity to come downtown is closed, but I am a parent and I have to say I haven't brought my children yet,
yep.
you know, but I do want to teach them starting young how important and what a big impact they can make if they just decide to look at other people with that helping eye. So
there's two things that comes to mind. Well, three things really. One, first of all, you're a parent mm-hmm. and you have a responsibility for your children. We had one dad who was great, enthusiastic. He was a wonderful helper. His kid was a fairly energetic mm-hmm. five-year-old that was prone to sprinting across the street. Not a good kid to bring downtown. So we kind of guided him in another direction. One of the things that, you know, I was talking to a fourth grade class, and they had the same kind of questions, interestingly. How do you know they're going to do the right thing with the food you give them? And don't you worry about this? And I said to them very simply, well, so you're worried about being taken advantage of. They said, yes. I said, well, if I give it to them freely, I can't be taken advantage of because it's a gift.
Right.
And what I asked them to do from the backseat of the car was just smile or wave to somebody to make that eye contact, maybe to encourage their parents to fill up the map pocket. And then the other ones actually went, maybe not downtown, but to nursing homes. So we have a little group that started to visit a nursing home over in Catonsville. And some of it's just maybe not talking, I'd say listening to people talk. And one group that actually goes to paints old ladies' nails. Because these are women. They may be 85. They may be partially senile. They may be dying. But they still want to feel like the beautiful women that they are.
They are, yes.
And something as simple as someone sitting there and taking the time, 10 minutes, whatever, to paint their nails just gives them a little bit of a boost.
There's a page on Facebook that I want to mention. It's called Be More Giving. Mm-hmm. I'm going to invite all of our listeners to just go and connect, search for it. Be, like just the letter B, apostrophe, more giving.
Yep.
That's how you can find the page. That's where you can find, I mean, you can find videos. I've even noticed that some of our friends that come on Sundays put their testimonials there.
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool.
We're on Twitter and Instagram too, at Be More Salt. No hyphen, just Be More Salt. And we've actually had a couple of folks who have been, we call them guests, they call them recipients, who have come on the other side of the table. They, in their state, feel like, hey, they still want to be able to give back and serve.
I have to say, they're the first ones to come in and ask, do you guys need a hand? Do you guys need me to carry something? So these are like the most kind people that I've met.
Yeah, we had people worry at some point about, well, will we have enough servers for one weekend because it was like cold? And I said, look, if we can have enough food in the kitchen, we only need two people. And they said, Steve, you're crazy. Like, there's no way it's going to work with two people. I said, no, we need two people to drive a car. Because I think if we just went there and put the tables and the food out, it'll get taken care of.
Absolutely. And there is no doubt in my mind, having gone a few weekends now, they are so ready to just jump in and help out. And one thing that always surprises me, because you think, you know, these are people who are literally hungry. And I'm not saying they just skip breakfast and, you know. No, these are people who have days many times without just having any kind of food. But they are so mindful to make sure that they're not overtaking food for themselves. They are so mindful and so thoughtful of the other people who are there in need. They'll come one time, they'll eat what they need for that very moment, wait for everybody else to go. And if there's anything left at the end, then they will come for seconds.
So it's funny, when I do the drive-bys, there's a guy, Charles. He's at the corner of Pimlico Road and Reisterstown, I think. And I gave him lunch and a drink. And I saw him the next week. I said, hey, Charles, how are you? I tried to get to know their name because he's got a name, right? And he said, I'm not hungry today. Thanks anyway. I'll just take the water. And I thought that was cool because he could have very easily taken it and thrown it away. Jeremy, in fact, and I joke because when we do drive-bys, we check the side view mirror because there's nothing as gratifying as seeing somebody rip into a bag lunch because they're so hungry, so grateful. So the other thing that we've done, I make trays that I keep in the car. And it's kind of an extension of that map pocket thing. Try it one time. Make a tray where you have Oreo cookies, chips, crackers, water, maybe something like a Rice Krispie treat, and just hold the tray up there and offer folks, I said, take whatever you'd like and let them pick. And then they say, can I have two? I said to the guy, you can have as much as you want. The only thing I don't want is you to throw it away or not eat it. And what's really cool is they don't gorge. I mean, they're not ungrateful.
No.
They'll take a few things and enjoy them. And I think there's something that's very simple that we take for granted, certainly in Howard County. We have choices. Am I a Chipotle guy, a Taco Bell guy, or Qdoba, right? And you have choices, burgers and all that. You know, it's pretty bad when you're hungry and then sometimes the only thing you get is what is put in front of you, just the little dignity of being able to make a choice can really make somebody feel happy.
Let's just tell everybody how they can get involved, how they can connect with SALT, and how they can just do something.
Yeah, so to connect with us, we're on Twitter and Instagram, Be More SALT. You can email us at olphsalt@gmail. There's the Facebook page.
Yes.
And I would say there are probably 15 different ideas that each of you have. Pick one. Pick the easiest one, pick the least significant one, and just do something.
Thank you so much for coming into our studio today. And for HOCA Journal, I'm Cris Oviedo, and we'll be right back.
Calling all Baltimore residents to join Volunteers of America on Tuesday, March 21st at 9:30 a.m. at 5000 East Monument Street. We are calling people of all religions and denominations to come together and pray for the city of Baltimore. Come and be fed spiritually and physically as we pray for the city of Baltimore, Tuesday, March 21st at 9:30 a.m. Remember, it's 5000 East Monument Street for prayer and a free breakfast.
For HOCO Journal, I'm Alex Baker. With me here now, somebody I've had on the show a couple of times now is Allie Jessing. She's from the Howard County Library, and she's going to talk about all the events coming up for the spring season. So, Allie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me back. I always like being here.
Yeah, it was a pleasure having you. So, I guess we'll just dive right into it. So, looking at the first month of March, just give us a brief overview of what you got coming up as far as that month goes.
Well, we have a really cool new thing happening at the library in March. It's called the Human Library. And instead of checking out a book, you can come and check out a person. And the Human Library is an international initiative started about 10 years ago, I think in Denmark. And it's a way to build community through dismantling stereotypes and prejudices through conversations. So at a Human Library, you come in and you can check out a person who's had a different life experience than you, whether they're a different religion, different culture, immigrant, community, life experiences, unlike yours. So when we generally, if we're afraid of something, it's because we don't know anything about it. So when we meet people who are different than us and we begin to understand them as people and not as labels, that helps us overcome a lot of the tensions in our culture and our society and dismantles that xenophobia. So the goal of the Human Library is to create conversations between people and build understanding and empathy between
people. Is March the, have you done it already, or is March the first time you're going to do
it? March will be the first one we do. It's March 11th at the Miller Branch from 1 to 5. We have a really diverse catalog of human books. We have members of the Muslim community, the Sikh community, the LGBTQ community, the Christian community, immigrants. We have a survivor of genocide who came from a really amazing array of books, veterans, and people you might pass on the street and not realize that they're different than you, but they have a story to tell. And in hearing their story, you can become more empathetic to other people in our community. So Howard County Library will be the first public library in Maryland to do one of these. So it's an experiment for us, but we're really excited about it. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. You know, at a time like this, I'm not going to get into specifics, but, you know, that's something that would really help, I think.
Right. We started planning this about a year ago, thinking this is something that could benefit any community, and it's just become more and more relevant as time wears on.
Definitely. And then so we covered March. So tell us a little bit about one of the big things you're really looking forward to in April.
Well, we have two really cool things coming up in April. One is actually a children's author named Kate Hannigan, and she's the author of the Cupcake Cousins series, which is like a narrative mixed with recipes that are really fun. So you can kind of read the story and then enact what you're reading about through creating the recipes. And she's also the author of The Detective's Assistant, which is the story of Kate Warren, who is the first ever female detective employed by the Pinkertons. And so The Detective's Assistant is about her niece kind of coming and, you know, tagging along on the adventures. And it won the 2016 Golden Kite Award for Best Middle Grade Novel. So it's kind of a nail-biting, you know, adventure story that also incorporates a lot of history around Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War. And then we are also welcoming the White House social secretaries from the Obama administration and the George W. Bush administration. Their names are Jeremy Bernard and Leah Berman. And they are collaborating on a book about how to treat people well and how to get along with people even when you disagree on things. So as the White House social secretaries, they were in charge of planning all of the major social and highly visible engagements that happened in the White House. So they have a lot of experience with working with people of different backgrounds, cultures, and belief systems and political ideologies. And they still manage to always get along. And so they're writing a book about that. And it won't be released until later in the summer, but they're going to come out and have a kind of pre-publishing salon kind of author event with us April 8th at the Miller Branch. Kate Hannigan is on April 6th at the Miller Branch.
Yeah, it sounds like those events will be educational. Like the one you talked about with the cooking thing, it seems like, you know, you can get kids interested in cooking and making whatever they want.
And cooking is science. So that actually goes back into a STEM philosophy of learning.
Okay. And then so moving on. So the last month in the spring is May. Just so tell us maybe some of the things you're excited for in that month.
On May 11th, we're going to welcome author Toby Devins, who's a best-selling author and actually from Columbia. So she's a local, well-known author. And she writes women's fiction mostly, but she's also writes short fiction and poetry and articles that have been excerpted all over the place, many national magazines, including Reader's Digest and Parents magazines. So she writes a lot about the personal challenges and family dynamics that go along with relationships.
Oh, okay.
Something I think we can all identify with at one level and of another. And then about the bonds of friendship and how friendship can sometimes replace family on occasion. So we're really looking forward to having her at the Miller Branch on May 11th.
Okay. And then you've already been talking about it a little bit. So of the author visits, you already named a few. One thing, other thing I noticed was Ned Tillman.
Yeah, Ned Tillman actually coming. He'll be at the Central Branch on April 20th. It's kind of a kickoff to Earth Day. Ned's book, Saving the Places We Love, is the 2016-17 Howard County Book Connection selection. So that's in partnership with HCC and HOCO Palitzo. It's something the library, HCC, and Palitzo do together. And Ned writes about how we are invested in saving our local environments because we live there, and how everybody was invested in saving their local environments. That would all kind of connect, and then we'd have massive sweeping changes. So he writes about what the steps you can take towards that goal are. And we had him at the library a few months ago. It was a huge crowd, really great event, and we decided we needed to do that again because there was so much interest. So he'll be at the Central Branch just prior to Earth Day talking about saving the places we love and what kind of steps and goals we can take and establish to help preserve our local environments.
Okay, and then another thing, as a big movie fan, I'm always interested in seeing what movies you got coming up. And you, looking at your list, you have quite a few, don't you?
Yeah, we do. After doing, we have our new release cinema at our East Columbia branch. Now, the East Columbia branch is actually closed for renovations, but you can still actually go to the classes and events we're hosting there because the 50-plus center, which is attached to the branch, is still open.
Oh,
so they're being very kind and letting us do some events in their space. So we'll still be having our new release cinema on April 13th and May 11th. So on Thursdays in March, we'll have our annual new release cinema film festival. And that's a partnership between Howard County Library System and Howard County Department of Community Resources and Services. So we'll be announcing those titles online and in the branch as we get closer and they nail down all those titles. And then we're also doing a three-film festival that centered on jazz. So everybody's seen La La Land.
Oh, yes.
There's other films about jazz that are also really great. Our three-film series always features three films around a certain theme, topic, director, or genre.
Oh.
So this quarter selection is jazz. So we're showing Round Midnight on March 7th, Miles Ahead on April 4th, and Mo Better Blues on May 9th.
Oh, okay. Those are pretty good movies.
Yeah, yeah. So those will all be really great.
And then one thing I thought was kind of interesting you got coming up in March is you're getting everybody ready for tax time.
Yes, we are. we partner with a group called Making Change, and they provide free financial education classes within the community, and everything from how to design a budget to investing basics. And then as we get closer to April 15th, we start to do tax time, how to prepare for tax time. Now, you can pick up tax forms at any HCLS branch, but we can't actually do your taxes for you.
Oh, okay.
You need to do them yourself. But we do offer some support in terms of our partnership with Making Change, where you can come to this class and our presenter will kind of give you some tips on how to finish that process. And those dates are going to be on our website. So there's two in March.
Okay.
And one at the Central Branch and one at the Savage Branch. So if you go to our website, which is hclibrary.org, and look for planning for tax time as a class, they'll pull up the dates and times for you.
Okay. And then some other events I thought were kind of interesting. One you got coming up is Lego Wars. So tell us a bit about that.
Lego Wars. Yeah, right. Lego Wars is really fun. It's an event for people ages 11, 18, and you get 150 Lego pieces and you have 45 minutes to build something awesome. Mm. So whatever you can create out of that 150 pieces, you know, the world is yours. What can you do with this 150 pieces in 45 minutes? So then we kind of look at what kind of creations and creativity people can exercise in that amount of time. So it's really fun.
One thing I kind of like coming up you got is stop motion animation. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, so our stop motion animation class is happening on April 13th at 2 p.m. And it's Howard County schools are closed that day. So if you've got a student in a Howard County school and you want a good activity for the afternoon, this is a great one. So the participants will be learning the basics of stop motion animation, which is when you you have a small figure and it's you take a photograph of it, you move it slightly.
Oh yeah.
Take another photo, and when those photos are edited together, it creates the illusion of continuous motion. So inanimate objects appear to move just through this very careful photography. So students will be learning about the principles of that, kind of how that works, and then creating kind of a team video using that technique in the class. On Thursday, April 13th.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I was watching something on Turner Classic Movies recently, and they had the guy who did Kubo and the Two Strings, which is a stop-motion animated movie this year that was a big hit.
Yeah.
And he was talking about just the process of it, and he would say just like something he would work all day on something, it would amount to like 2 minutes of footage. Mm-hmm. So you just talk about how a lot of work that is. But the product is something like Kubo, it looks really amazing.
Right. It's a lot of effort and you don't really get a sense of it till you see the final product. Mm-hmm. How much goes into creating just a second can take all day. Yeah.
And then let's see another one. So, coming up, I guess, is the sinking of the Titanic. So tell us about you're going to do something special for that.
So on Saturday, April 15th at noon, we have a class for students ages 9 to 12 about the Titanic, and it's happening on the or close to the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. And students are going to look at the STEM concepts that are related to that tragedy. Like, what happened mechanically, environmentally, scientifically? Why did the Titanic sink? What were what was the scientific reason behind that sink, that tragedy? So Titanic was billed as unsinkable, and we all know it wasn't.
It wasn't.
So what went wrong? What were the consequences, or what were the factors that went into that?
And like, what would you have done differently to avoid it?
Right. And how did it inform how later ships were designed, and how did it inform how we look at kind of our understanding of those principles of design?
Oh, cool. And then let's see, another one looks interesting is tell us a little bit about Culture Fest.
Culture Fest this year is going to be really cool. It's going to be a celebration of Oceania. So that is Australia, New Zealand, and the Pacific Islands.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have performers, demonstrations, culture groups, food, always the best part, highlighting Oceania. So it's going to be a really, really fun afternoon. That is on Sunday, May 7th at the Miller Branch. And that's a partnership with the Columbia Association's International Exchange and Multicultural Program. So it'll be a great, great afternoon. Food, music, fun time.
Okay. And then also another one I liked coming up was Vietnam Veterans Traveling Exhibit. So what is that all about?
Yeah, that is a really cool thing that we are able to offer through a partnership with Maryland Public Television. Maryland Public Television actually developed this exhibit, and it's traveling around the state. And it recognizes and thanks our veterans in the communities of Maryland who served in the military during the Vietnam War. There's an interaction element where children can color different coloring pages as thank yous to veterans, mm-hmm. as well as stationery. So if you want to write a thank you note to a veteran, it will be incorporated into, that's part of the exhibits. So you can write that note and it will be delivered to a veteran to share your message. And we will have that on display at our central branch from May 9th to June 11th.
Okay, and then you talked a little bit earlier about STEM. And so one other thing I know this is, I think it's a STEM-related event, is Girl Power.
Yeah, Girl Power is a chance for, well, anybody can participate. You don't have to be a girl. Boys are welcome as well. Mm-hmm. To come in and kind of make these connections and network and with different members of the community and find ways to make a difference in your community. So we have three different classes this spring designed around this kind of theme of girl power. And at each class, there will be different activities mm-hmm. to contribute towards the community. So on March 18th, we're working with Colorful Abandoned Tie-Dyeing, and they create tie-dyed bandanas and handmade cards to go to charities. On April 15th, we're working with Build a Habitat. And then on May 13th, we're working with Girls Who Code HOCO, and they're a coding collective. So three really great opportunities to meet people and get a chance to do something within the community to make it a better place.
All right. And then another thing I noticed is an interesting, you're somewhat, in a way, bringing Hamilton, the big, the popular Broadway play, you're bringing it somehow into Howard County Library. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, it's actually, that's a partnership with Red Branch Theater Company in Columbia. And we're starting a new series with them called Page to Stage. And it's kind of a survey of popular plays and musicals and performances in American history, and how the behind the scenes understanding of how they came to have that place. It also celebrates diverse voices that may not get as much recognition as they deserve. So that's going to be a 3-part series, and we're kicking off our first one on May 15th with Hamilton. Everybody knows Hamilton. Everybody's pretty infatuated with Hamilton. Everybody sings Hamilton lyrics to themselves in the shower. But that started as an 836-plus page biography that was translated into this cultural phenomenon. So the class on May 15th, with it's going to feature the Red Branch Theater artistic staff and their performers, and they're going to kind of break that down for us. How did it translate from a very heavy, dense book, very good book, but a dense one, into this completely revolutionary experience in American theater? And how did that operate to change kind of our conventions of American theater? One of the great things about Hamilton is the diversity of the cast, the new and kind of creative approach to lyricism. So they're going to talk about how all of those factors made this so popular today.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, musical like that is comes from a play about Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yep.
Okay. And so last question I'll have for you is just tell us where listeners can go to learn more about Howard County and maybe check out more of these events we've mentioned.
Oh, everything is on hclibrary.org.
Okay, fantastic. So this has been an interview with HOCO Journal. I've been talking with Allie Jessing from the Howard County Library to talk about all the events going on. Allie, once again, I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
For HOCO Journal, I'm Alex Baker. We'll be right back on Dragon Digital Radio.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLetsDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Howard County Journal. Matt Trudell here with you. And on the phone today, I have a special guest. Her name is Megan Pierce, and she works with the Owen Brown, is it Community Association?
It is,
okay. Yeah. And we are here to talk about the Owen Brown Spring Fling event that is from 1 to 3 p.m. on March 25th. Thank you for joining us today, Megan.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the Owen Brown Community Association.
Well, I grew up here, and I guess I've been with them for almost 7 years now. So I've been with them a long time, and I started out doing rentals for the building, and then I just made my way to doing the events, and I just love it.
So you said you grew up around here, specifically like in the Owen Brown community?
No, down more in southern Howard County, the Skaggsville area.
Okay, okay.
And I went to Athelton.
Okay.
High school, yeah.
So how did you get involved in event planning?
Well, it really started out when I was in college. I started doing some work at Turf Valley. I think that's in Howard County as well.
Yes.
I started doing the events, the weddings there, and then it just spiraled from there. I just loved it.
Is that something that you wanted to do for a long time, or did you just kind of fall into it?
You know, I never really knew I wanted to do it until I started. I just fell into that job in college because, you know, I was a college student. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and
yeah.
I just fell into it, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, I like this. Events are fun.
Can it be very stressful as well?
Oh, yeah. When you're dealing with a lot of vendors, we had our baby expo here. We did it for about 4 years. And when you have vendors either canceling on you last minute or things just don't go the way you plan it, you know, when you're in the moment, just like with weddings, when you're in the moment, things don't always go your way. So you kind of just have to adapt and keep rolling with it.
Okay. So how many events do you guys put on a year, would you say?
The Owen Brown Community Center, we try to do at least 2 a month. If we're having a big event like the Spring Fling, it's usually just 1 a month. So we have minimum of 12 a year, maximum probably around 24, 25.
Okay.
This being the Spring Fling, this is the first time we're doing this event. So we're hoping we have a great turnout for it. We're trying to accommodate all ages for this event. We have stuff from, you know, toddlers who can decorate their own cupcake, or up to grandparents who want to just sit down and do a craft, make a spring wreath, or even perfect their golf swing. We have a golf pro from Hobbit's Glen coming out.
Oh, nice.
To help people, yeah, just learn how to improve their golf swing. So we'll have a lot of stuff here for everybody.
And this event is at the Owen Brown Village Center, right?
Yeah, so it's our community center.
Okay,
yep, we're
yeah.
right off of Cradle Rock. So we're actually not in the center where Giant is. We're on the other side of
yeah.
Cradle Rock.
Yeah. yeah, more towards the middle school, elementary
yeah.
school.
We're right next to the middle school, just up from the library.
Okay. How long does it usually take you to plan an event?
Well, it depends on how big it is. A couple months at least. And it depends on if we're dealing with vendors or not and how many vendors we're dealing with. So usually on average, about 3 months.
Okay. Other than this Spring Fling, and then we'll focus solely on the Spring Fling, what other kind of events are there?
We have our food truck event that we do every summer. We do a 50-plus barbecue and bingo. Ooh. We always try to do a holiday celebration in December. And we just came up with our Lake Festival that's going to be coming up in September. That's going to be another big event, and it'll be at Lake Elkhorn.
Oh.
So that's another vendor event with a lot of things to do. We're very excited about that one.
Yeah, and the food truck one, when is that normally?
The food truck one is only for Owen Brown residents, and
oh.
we have that in July every year.
Okay. All right. So on to the Spring Fling specifically, which is on March 25th from 1 to 3 p.m.
Yeah.
How many years have you guys been doing the Spring Fling event?
The Spring Fling, this is our first year doing the Spring Fling.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're trying out something new and seeing if people like it. We're accommodating all age groups, and we think it'll be a popular one.
Well, I mean,
it's kind of like a how-to event or a make-your-own event.
Yeah.
So the idea of it is for people to actually come to the event and sit down at the event and make a craft, or sit down and listen to one of our tech talks, or go outside and meet with the golf pro and learn how to perfect your swing. So the idea is to get people involved at the event.
And does the event cost any money?
It doesn't cost any money. It's free admission to get in. Some of the crafts are going to be $5 or under. So we're trying to keep everything very inexpensive. And then some things are free. You can learn how to improve your golf swing for free. or you could learn how to make a fishing lure for free. So some things are free, and then all of the crafts, like building a solar model car, will be $5 or under.
Wow. I'm just looking at the flyer right now as we're talking, and there's a bunch of stuff to do. It's actually, you know, it's going to be hard for everybody to go in there and get all that done in a two-hour span.
I know. If we have someone that wants to do everything, they're going to have a little bit of trouble in the 2 hours.
Yeah. Do you have to, like, register for the event or anything?
You don't have to register, and if you follow us on Facebook, we're Owen Brown Village, you'll get up-to-date news from us, and you don't have to come and register for anything or sign up. It's just free. Just show up when you can.
And this is an event for all ages?
All ages, and it's not just for Owen Brown. It's anybody who wants to come, all of Howard County.
Okay. Do you have any idea how many people you would expect to come to this event?
We're hoping a couple hundred.
Okay.
Again, it's brand new, so it's kind of up in the air at this point. But since it's a Saturday in the middle of the day, everybody wants to get out when it's springtime.
And this is an event that, like, you show up to and say, you know, you don't have to stay the full 2 hours. Kind of come in.
Yep, come in when you want to. You can sit down and do a craft or not. You can just have a drink. We are offering free candy for everyone that attends. So everyone that comes in gets to get their own bag of free candy. And you can just walk around and look at stuff and just enjoy the atmosphere. No one has to spend any money. They can just come and listen to the music and hang out. The tech talks are free, so if they wanted to listen to tech talk for free, they could do that. They could swing a golf club for free and just, you know, hang out. So you don't have to register for anything. You don't have to pay for anything. We're trying to just promote a community and coming together and learning new stuff.
And I see on the flyer it says the tech talks are the ones at 1:15, and it's a small business promotion through social media.
Yeah, so we have a lot of entrepreneurs in this area, which amazing. So we're having someone come in who has worked for Microsoft and now Google, and they will be talking about how to promote your small businesses using social media. You know, there's so much hype about Facebook and Instagram, and how can we use those tools to promote what we're doing?
So yeah.
There'll be a talk on that, and then at 2:15, the consumer secrets of social media, and that's more just on your personal level. There's so much to social media that people don't really know. So just like the little ins and outs, the little secrets of stuff that you might not have known about Facebook or Instagram or Twitter.
It's social media is constantly changing too.
I know.
Every
always
time
evolving.
We do the we run our Facebook page here at the station, and it's like every time we think we've finally got it, there's something new.
I know. I was signing on to our Owen Brown Community Association page, and I think it was over winter break, and all of a sudden I signed on, and the homepage is totally different. I'm like, wait a minute. I just want to see the light. Where's the light?
Yeah.
Where did everything go? I just want to put a new event on here. Where did that button go? So it's always changing. They're always trying to even just make it look better.
Well, this is awesome. Why is this event perfect for families?
It's perfect for families because you can bring your children and sit down and do a one-on-one activity with them. You know, you can have that time with your kids, or you can have that time with your parents and get moving and get outside and play some golf and learn something new. Just do an activity with your kids. Make a spring wreath and take it home and put it on your door. It's just very family-oriented. We want to bring them together, and there's stuff for everybody.
Why is it important to have community events like this?
Well, that's what we're here for. All the villages were put here to serve our community and to promote community awareness. We want to bring residents in here and feeling like they have a home and feeling like they can bring their kids somewhere that's not so expensive and just have that time with their neighbors. It's important to us to provide events that are less expensive and that bring people together.
Yeah, and also like with the way how like technology has advanced so much over the years, and you don't necessarily have to have friends that are standing directly in front of you. This is kind of a way that, like, we can bring the community back together, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, everyone, you see everyone on their phones now, and we want people to be looking at people, and that's why we have these open events. You know, everyone's talking with people, the music's going, you know, and no one's focused on their phones at that time.
Yeah. So when the event is happening, do you actually get to enjoy it, or are you just having to run around?
Am I running around like a crazy person? Both. I do need to make sure everything is running smoothly, and stuff always happens. So, yes, I do get to enjoy it, but I also have to be paying attention to everything.
All right. Last opportunity to sell this event to everybody. Why should people go to the event?
People should come to our Spring Fling because it will enable you to spend time with one another. That's our goal, to have people come here and sit down and enjoy each other's company, make a craft, go outside, learn to play some golf. We're also having a station set up on how to brew your own beer.
Oh.
We're trying to just promote a circle of community and people just enjoy the time they have with one another, decorate a cupcake, build a solar model car, make a spring wreath. You know, there's so much to do here. You could even create family t-shirts. You know, come here with your family and create a family t-shirt. And everything is under $5.
Wow.
So you really can't, you can't beat that.
And it just seems like there's so much to do. Like we were talking about, it's like you would be really having to operate efficiently to get all this done in the 2 hours.
I know. So if we do have someone that wants to come and do everything, that might be a little bit of a problem for them. They might have to take home something.
Well, and then, you know, if they can't get everything done, they'll be begging for another Spring Fling, and hopefully this will become a thing that happens for years and years to come.
Hopefully. You know, we're trying to involve all the community. We have the Columbia Arts Center coming, the golf pro from Hobbits Glen. We're having a lot of people come to let people know what's going on in our county. You know, do people know about the Columbia Arts Center? They're going to be here, so hopefully we can promote other people's businesses by this event.
All right. Well, one last question. How can people find out more about the event or more about you guys? I know you said you had a Facebook page.
We do. We have a Facebook page. Go to facebook.com and backslash Owen Brown Village.
Okay.
And we also have a website that's www.owenbrownvillage.org.
Well, I definitely appreciate you talking to me on the phone today and promoting the Owen Brown Spring Fling, which will be at the Owen Brown Village Center. Am I saying that right?
Yes, the Owen Brown Community Center. It's right off of Cradle Rock Way.
And it will be on March 25th from 1 to 3 p.m. And this has been Megan Pierce, who is the, you plan the event. So when you're having a blast on the 25th, make sure to stop by and thank her for putting this all together.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt.
All right. And we will be right back on Howard County Journal.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food, we're helping to stop food waste. Save the food. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
That's it for our show today. Thanks to our producers and guests, not only for taking the time to speak with us, but also for all you do to make our community a better place. Don't forget to connect with us through social media, our website, and our podcast page. If you would like to come in and share your story, contact me at moviedo@howardcc.edu. Or you can connect with me via Facebook at our page, Dragon Digital Radio, or on my page directly at Cris Oviedo. Stay healthy, happy, positive, and blessed. Until next month, I am Cris Oviedo. Thank you.